Announcements. Pastor Brandon told me that there's something special after the service if the sermon is short. So that's some good news, right? I got some pressure on me to keep it short today. So we're going to start today with Gandhi. Gandhi was an Academy Award-winning movie several years ago. And in the movie, there's a scene where he's walking through the streets of South Africa with a pastor. And as they walk through the streets, the culture at that time, this was taboo, is a white pastor with Gandhi through South Africa. And there's some young men, a group of kind of brutish young men who are looking at them, and they're about ready to get into a confrontation. So they approach Gandhi and the white clergyman, and they say, they start to confront them. And it looks like there could be some sort of violence or altercation. And circumstances intervene, and these guys let Gandhi and the pastor pass through. So as they're walking away, allowed to keep going and realizing they just dodged maybe some violence or an incident, the pastor says to Gandhi, "Whew, that was lucky." And Gandhi says, "I thought you were a man of God. What's this talk of luck?" And the pastor says, "I am, but I'm not egotistical enough to think that he plans his day around my dilemmas. Who am I that the God of the universe would listen to somebody like me? Is that an egotistical thought to think that the God of the universe would plan the day around or would intervene in a situation like that?" It's a great question. It's wrestled with in the scriptures. David, the guy who was famous for taking the giant down and was a shepherd boy and just has such a great legacy in the scriptures, wrote in Psalm 8:4 this great question. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Now think about this. We have this God of the universe, and this universe is incredibly vast. Our earth is just this little rock in comparison to everything else. And then human beings compared to the enormity of the universe. And David's wrestling with this question, kind of like that pastor, like, "I'm not so egotistical." Is it egotistical to think that the God of the universe would even be mindful of human beings? Now, humanity in general, that's one question to ask. Like, why would God even care about all of us? And currently, there's estimates around 8.2 or 8.3 billion people on this planet. And why would God care about all 8.3 billion? Why care about one? Now, listen to a New Testament writing. This is from James 4:14. "What is your life?" Now we're just thinking about one person. What is your life? "You are a mist that vanishes for a little while," or that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So why would God even be mindful of humanity in general, but especially one person who in the vast configuration of things is a mist? Our lives appear for a little while and then they vanish. I mean, is it luck? Is it circumstances? Is it egotistical to think that the God of the universe would plan a day around us, or the God of the universe would be mindful of us or even speak to us? Is that an egotistical thought? Because what is my life? Now, the person who wrote this, James, he was Jesus's brother. And in his book, he's got this letter in the New Testament that's full of all kinds of incredible insights into human nature. And one of the things that fascinates me about James is comments that are made by some of Jesus's friends, or people who follow Jesus and were familiar with Jesus and James. And what they said about James and what it was like for him growing up with Jesus. So we hear a couple things. Today we're going to look at something that Mark said and John said. So first we'll turn to John 7:5. This is talking about Jesus during his earthly ministry. It says, he makes this comment, "For even Jesus's own brothers did not believe him." Mark, Mark says, when Jesus' family heard about this, so James is part of this. When James and his brothers and his mom and everybody, when they heard about this, they went to take charge of Jesus. For they said, he is out of his mind. Now, isn't that wild? James grew up with Jesus, knew him, and he thought when he lived with him and was part of that ministry, he didn't believe that Jesus, some of the audacious claims he was making, talking about God as his father and that he had this intimate relationship, and that, man, it just seemed out of his mind. So James thought that Jesus was insane until Jesus resurrected and appeared to him. And then he had so many things, I imagine, as he's looking back on stuff that he overlooked at the time or thought it was insane, thinking, oh, now it starts to make sense. So Jesus, again, after he resurrected, he appeared to James, and then James became a believer. And in fact, in this letter that we're referencing in James, he identifies himself as a servant of the Lord Christ Jesus. Now, think, if you have a brother, what would it be like for you to identify yourself as a servant of your brother? Or call him the Lord or whatever. Like, this is fascinating here that that's how James, I see Lucas and Graydon, like, which one is the Lord there? I don't know. Maybe why, oh, it's Graydon. It's the older one, right? Yeah, of course. But think about this. So this is how he identified. He went from this guy's crazy, and I don't believe, like, his, I don't know about what he's saying, to he is the Lord. And so his insights, I want to look at a little bit, because Jesus was not like us in so many ways. Jesus was like us in the sense that he was human. His family thought that he was out of his mind because his claims were audacious. Like, he didn't really know his place because they observed that he was human, fully human. But Jesus was not like us. And that after he resurrected, even James acknowledged, this is the Lord. This is somebody who's worthy of being served. Jesus was not like us in that he was fully God. And that was a category they didn't have. James didn't really have that category until after the resurrection, where it just flipped history on its sides and changed everything. Jesus was not like us, and that he never sinned. But Jesus, again, he is human enough to be able to sympathize with us in our issues. He sympathized with James. When he came back and appeared to James, he didn't just belittle him and lecture him, but he showed who he was and understood his humanness. All right, so let's look at some more insights that we have from James. This is 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now that leaves a great question. So what is a righteous person? Now James was a real believer in God and the Hebrew scriptures. And the Hebrew scriptures proclaim this. It's even repeated later in the New Testament. But they said things like, there is no one righteous, not even one. So there's only one category of true righteousness, and that is God. So here he is. So thinking about, even as we acknowledge, like, there's no one righteous, but what would it look like to be righteous, a righteous person? So James kind of, again, he's very Hebrew. He's very familiar with the Old Testament and all the scriptures. And so he's thinking, well, you know, like, some people maybe seem a little more righteous than others, or maybe what's an example that we would say, if anybody's righteous, it's this person. So he comes up with one that, though he wasn't perfect, his name was Elijah. So James 5:17, Elijah. And Elijah was this prophet that everybody recognized, the Jews recognized, was someone special. They're even expecting him to come back again later in some way to announce the Messiah. And Elijah was part of these incredible miracles. There was a lot in Elijah that was righteous. So he says Elijah, that's the example he came up with, was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, Elijah prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. We might get caught up in the, hey, he was a powerful person. He prayed for rain and it happened. He prayed for drought and it happened. Like, that is amazing. But the emphasis is not on that story. That's a story that most of the people reading James already knew. The emphasis is on the first part. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He might seem like a statue. He may seem like a myth, a legend, someone of old who like had it all together and couldn't relate to what our lives are like. But he was a human being, even as we are. Elijah knew what it was like to go through depression. He knew what it was like to be so discouraged he wanted to die. Elijah knew what it was like to lose his temper. Elijah knew what it was like to throw a pity party. Aren't you glad? Did anybody else throw pity parties for themselves? Okay. Elijah was very human. And sometimes we miss it. We read these stories maybe about people in the scriptures, and we maybe don't see that they're human even as we are. We see these amazing things that happen, and we think, I wish I could be amazing like Elijah. And what we maybe miss is that it's not about Elijah, really. It's about the God who has the power to do these things. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Elijah was just like us in so many ways. He knew what it's like to be human. One of our big problems is, again, we see the people in the Bible as different from us. So if you got a call from an important figure, say high government official, probably most of us in this room would maybe feel like, why is this person wasting their time with us, with me? I'm not that important. And then, so on one hand, we'd probably think that I'm not that important. Why would this person call me? But on the other hand, we would probably also think, well, maybe I'm a little more important now because this person, this high government official, is calling me. So we kind of hold these kind of two ideas together as human beings, that somebody important, receiving a call from them, that we're not important enough, and that if we did get a call from them, we would become more important. This thinking seems to honor God's greatness, but it really contradicts Scripture. Because the Scripture talks about a God who is for everybody. And it's not because of our greatness or anybody's greatness, but because of God's greatness. One of the things that when we think maybe God only speaks to other people, or I have to be good enough, it's only great people. Another thing that can do is it can shut out the way that God speaks to people on an individual basis, hearing individualized messages. Now, Dallas Willard, who wrote the book Hearing God, and has used as a reference for that illustration a lot of the material in these messages. One of the things that he says about God's greatness is his greatness is precisely what allows him to plan his day around me or anyone else as he chooses. Is that egotistical to think that God would do that? If you think it's about you, yes. But really what the scriptures are saying, the message of Christ, was that God is so great, God can do it. Not because anybody's great that he's doing it for, but because it's about God's greatness. And that we're just people, just like Elijah, we're human beings. Now, as we wrestle with this, again, God's speaking to us. We may think that makes us important, but it doesn't really. If God speaks to us, it's not like a declaration of our importance. We're already wonderfully and fearfully made. But what it is if God speaks to us, it's an opportunity for us to do good. It's an opportunity for us to enjoy it, to bless somebody else. It's an opportunity for us to grow, to become more Christ-like. And if we start thinking that hearing from God makes us greater than others, maybe who we don't think are hearing from God, that will shut God's voice out quickly because it's pride that comes before the fall. And Jesus said, anybody who humbles themselves, they're going to be exalted. But when people start to exalt themselves, they become humbled by God. So if we, again, if we start to think of ourselves as greater importance, if we're hearing from God, the guidance from God gets withdrawn. Another quote from Dallas Willard, When God speaks to us, it does not prove that we are righteous or even right. Read the Bible, especially in your old, if you're in the Old Testament plan right now, you will see that God speaking to somebody does not mean they are righteous or right. It does not even prove that we have correctly understood what he said. The infallibility of the messenger and the message does not guarantee the infallibility of our reception. Now, one reason why this is important, because God told me, when people say, like, God told me or the Lord led me, they're commonly used by a speaker to prove I am right, that you should follow me, or that I should get my way. That is not the way that it works in the scripture at all. And I know this because I'm a pastor and a speaker, and I'm just like other speakers, and we're just like Elijah, as we all are. We're human beings. I, like other speakers, I'm prone to wander, as the great hymn says, Lord, I feel it. We're fallible. We're prone to wander. We're like Elijah, who could also go in the wrong direction and shut out God's voice. Some of us maybe are better, our character is better formed than others, maybe, but all of us are fallible. All the people who are like me, maybe, who stand up as a speaker, we're fallible. And you can even have the right answer, as Dallas Willard says, but have the wrong spirit and be in the wrong. And being right can even be a burden, because we all need a savior. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 acknowledged that we can have the gift of prophecy, we can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but if we don't have love, even if we have all the right answers, he says, we're nothing. He talked about how knowledge, knowing things, can even be a burden. It puffs people up. And even, again, knowing you're right or believing you're right, it can be a burden. But it's love. Love doesn't puff up, but love actually builds up. One of the prayers that sometimes Willard prays is, Lord, when we are wrong, make us willing to change. Pastor Emily challenged us hardcore, challenged me a lot with that teaching of, can we be corrected? Only a fool refuses correction. And that's so difficult. I don't want to be corrected. I don't think any of us do. But that prayer, Lord, when we are wrong, make us willing to change. And when we are right, make us easy to live with. Isn't that good? And when we, I'll say it again, I heard it. When we are right, make us easy to live with. Man, isn't that one of the problems of the Pharisees who knew they were right? They were not easy to live with, because they had that I'm right and you're wrong kind of attitude that just shuts love out. Now, God speaks in various ways. And I don't know what God wants to say to you. That's way above my pay grade. But the Lord does. And it's not egotistical to think that the Lord has something to say to you. It's about the greatness of God, acknowledging that he has the ability to speak in ways that are amazing, and they surpass our knowledge and our expectations. But we believe that. And I just want to encourage you this morning and beyond to be listening for what the Lord says to you. Jesus said it 6 times in the Gospels and 8 times in Revelation. The one who has ears to hear, let them hear. May you hear. And I pray that you have ears that hear. And I just want to hope that you'll be praying for ears that hear and respond and converse with God. That's what this is really about, is conversing with God, believing in a God who can speak to us in various ways, in powerful ways, in ways that are only God can do, that God has the ability to do that. Brandon, I think we're going to be able to do our nice surprise today, because we're wrapping it up right now. So worship team, come on up. And as we close this, if you want God to speak to you, if you want the Lord to speak something to you, I just ask that you join your heart with me, bring your faith into this, and agree with me in this prayer that comes straight from the scriptures. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.